What's going on? What's going on?
Entertain the geeky.
Late breaking news. It's not late. Late or breaking.
No, neither. No.
We're late to the news. How about that?
We're late to the party.
Always. I mean, I was going to say, we always are. That's kind of our thing. Maybe that's what's endearing about us.
It's that we don't strike while the iron is hot.
We
that might be the thing that's not making us any money.
We're the guys that show up late to work, but picks you up McDonald's on the way there. So you're like, oh, yeah, that's cool.
Sure.
I am mad at him.
Yeah. I'm okay with your lateness because you brought me food.
Your tardiness is acceptable because of these circumstances. Mm-hmm. So we had this total hard on about this Avatar series coming out. And
we watch it.
It's here. Yeah, it's here.
It's good. It's on. I liked it. I don't know.
It was enjoyable.
I think it gets the spirit of the story. It kind of does things out of order and then introduces characters in weird places, but I think it got the spirit of the story.
Absolutely. So there were definitely oddities about it. I wasn't upset about them, though.
What's odd? Such as?
So, okay. One. You're never going to find a human being that looks exactly like a cartoon character, ever.
Yeah.
There were a couple of characters I'm like, casting could have been a little better there. But how the person in casting sees that character is probably different than how I perceive that character.
Yeah, it's about how you play the character and how you see the character in your head.
And I thought everybody did a bang-up job.
No, I think the little kid that plays Aang is great. He does a great job.
Kid's freaking adorable. He's
a tiny Aang.
Oh my god, I love him.
The tattoos are blue. That made me happy. Even though they've got little designs in them, which is weird. I don't need that. That wasn't part of the cartoon, but that's fine. As long as it's blue.
There's some little filigree stuff going on in there, but I wasn't mad about it.
Yeah. I mean, again, I was just happy to see it blue.
Right. Instead of black.
Like a henna tattoo on his head. That looked weird.
It was weird. The M. Night Shyamalan thing, I was like, where'd you guys miss the mark?
They put a henna tattoo in the shape of an arrow on his forehead. I don't know what that was about. That was weird.
Okay, so where do you want to start with this? Because I liked the show.
So I think there is, obviously it's going to draw comparisons to the cartoon show. It's impossible that it won't. But I think there is something to be said about giving me a show that captures what I loved about the source material while also giving me something new to watch, because I watched Avatar, right? I've seen that show, and I don't want to just see that show again in live action. I want to see those moments, the big moments, but I want to have something new to get on board with. And I think the new thing to get on board with for me is things happen in a different order. I mean, characters are introduced in some cases way earlier than they are or later than they are. Jet popped up in the Omashu episode, which is totally weird. Yeah, which is not how
he pops up. I actually just rewatched that too.
Yeah. I think the guy who played Jet did a good job. I liked him. I think
he was a good Jet for sure.
Yeah, I think he did a good job.
So funny enough, I liked Jet better in the live action than I did the cartoon.
I don't think I ever really liked Jet.
I'm saying the portrayal of the character. I'm not saying...
Sure. I don't think I ever liked Jet.
I'm not like, hey, buddy.
He kind of seemed like a scummy guy to me.
He is a scummy guy. I thought they did more in the live-action one to give him this air of relatability than they did in the cartoon. The cartoon, like...
Yeah, but I don't think he's supposed to be relatable.
I think any character is supposed to have, like, something that makes them seem... Yeah, that's fine. Fuck it.
What are you doing back here?
It was just being weird. There we go. He fixed it.
Up here? There we go.
That's all it was.
Right.
But I think every character has something that makes them... they have to have some kind of endearing quality about them. I mean...
Sure.
And I felt like they did a better job at that. They fleshed him out more.
In the
live-action series versus the cartoon.
Yeah, I think everybody's role was good. I liked Danny Pudi as the... weird tinkerer guy. Mm-hmm. I thought he did a good job.
I loved
the guy who played Uncle Iroh.
I think he was great.
I think the Iroh and Zuko relationship is perfect.
They did a spot on job there.
They captured 100%. Absolutely the way it should look and feel and be.
Totally agree.
And I just like that guy. Like I said, I just like that guy who plays Iroh. He's also in been popping up in The Mandalorian as the rebel
guy, the pilot.
The X-Wing pilot that kind of like sees something going on in the Outer Rim that he's like worried about, but no one cares about the Outer Rim.
There's fuckery afoot.
There's some shit going down with some Imperials out here, and we should probably be looking at this. And everyone else is like, whatever.
It'll be
Outer Rim. Who cares about
them? Listen here, Red 2 or whatever. They don't matter. Call you.
I think he's part of Blue Squadron.
Is he part of Blue Squadron?
Blue Squadron.
Okay. Yeah. Listen here, Blue 42.
He does have more blue in like his.
That's fair.
His
he does. Look. He does.
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably is Blue Squadron. Uncle Iroh was awesome. I did truly love Aang. I thought the kid that played him was basically perfect.
He's great. I think the girl who played Azula is great. Azula got a lot more. I don't think Azula had any screen time in the first season of the show. Maybe at the very end.
She had a little bit. Yeah, she did have some.
Like the very end, we see her.
It was mostly flashbacks.
You see
a lot of flashbacks where she was a little kid. Okay. And she was okay. Azula's
a character.
That's
what I'm saying. I think that happens later. I don't think Azula's part of the first season story. I think her story starts in the second season.
Like I said,
I think we might see her at the very end of the season standing with the Fire Lord. But I don't think we knew who that was.
I do think that's the case. I think you might get a flashback or two from when Zuko was a kid, but yeah, you don't really see her.
Yeah, I don't think she was part of the first season at all until that final episode, and then had us going, okay, who's that?
Yeah, I think we introduced her
properly in the second season.
I should know this because I just started rewatching that too.
But I think it's smart to have parallels that I can draw with this and a video game I'm playing right now, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Yep. But I think there are that it's smart to go ahead and get us going with Azula's story.
Definitely.
Because we know her story already.
Right.
Right. So there's no point in holding back. So I think restructuring the story in that way works. And remind me to talk about that when we get to our video game that we're going to talk about. Because I've had a lot of that going on with that too, where it's like, no, they know we know. So like, just do it. Just tell us what's going on, right? Just show us what's happening.
And I think that
we already know what's happening. So you might as well just lean into the fact that we know.
Well, and they did it in a graceful enough fashion with the show. It was graceful enough that even if you're seeing Avatar for the first time, if this is your first Avatar experience, You get it.
Yeah,
you get it.
Sure.
It was.
Let's be honest, though. There's no way this is most people's first Avatar experience.
No. And I'm not saying
it's one of the most popular cartoons Nickelodeon ever produced.
I agree. Yeah. I'm just saying for somebody like my kids.
Sure.
And my kids had Avatar experience.
Children,
prior
I think.
To this,
it, yeah, young
some
children.
Kids,
I think
this will be it for them.
This will be sure. But it's anybody like us, right? No, like we watched it because we watched the other one and we're excited about seeing some of these things happen in real life.
Right.
You know?
Well, and so it's been wildly successful so far. There's been criticism, there's been praise, all of it.
Sure.
So there's been all this stuff going on with the show, but it was like the number one watched thing on Netflix, as you would expect.
Well, yeah, I would assume some people, the people that aren't, you know, see, this is funny to me, right? The people that are mad and have complaints about what the show is. Well, you still watched it, bud. You gave Netflix the analytic that you watched it. You know what I mean? Like that, it doesn't matter that you're hate watching it. Netflix doesn't care. They just care that people are watching it.
So a friend of mine, a Facebook friend, watched the movie.
And the show.
He watched the show. He clearly binged it, okay, because he watched it well before I was able to even start it.
Right.
So he binged it right after it came out. And then proceeded to shit all over it. And I'm like, dude.
Again, Netflix doesn't care that you hate watched.
Well, and
it's still a view.
The thing that was baffling to me, like, yes, I that part I understand. We do something on the internet, and when we get extra attention for somebody telling us to fuck off, I love it.
Sure, exactly, yeah.
But with this in particular, I'm like, dude, you just hated it for the sake of hating it because it wasn't the cartoon. The cartoon was fucking
great.
But again,
great. I don't think it needs to be the cartoon.
No, it doesn't. But it
doesn't. Look, if you want to, if you decided to tell me an entirely different story in between the big moments,
sure.
I'd have been fine with that.
Well, my issue with that is it's close enough to the source material. Yeah. Like, it stays pretty freaking true to it. It's good. And if I was experiencing this story for the first time ever,
sure.
I would be totally happy with my viewing experience.
I mean, yeah, again, things happen in a different order, but I think at the core of what those things are, they still represent the moments from the original show that they appeared in. Yeah, I think they still work in the same way.
Well, I mean,
and that's what's important to keep it, you know, connected or feel like the original show in some way.
Right.
What's happening?
I've got a child trying to break in.
She's trying to break in. All right. You'll see her. She'll probably come waddling down behind us. Yeah.
Do flips here at the table.
But no, I think it's good. I think it's worth watching, even if you've heard people say it's not good. You know, make your own opinion, right? I mean, form your own opinion. Watch it and see what it's like, right? Because you're going to know within the first couple of episodes whether or not it's going to be something you're going to want to continue watching.
I think one of my I agree. You'll be able to tell very quickly if it's for you or not.
If it's for you, it's for you. If it's not, well, okay, you tried.
One of my favorite things that's come out of the series is little interviews and like they showed videos of when they gave these people the parts of the characters.
Sure.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, as a kid, that's an actor kid. That's a dream come true.
Some of these kids, like, you can tell. There she goes.
Oh, there it is.
You can tell they were into it. Like, Aang was crying and stuff. I forget the young man's name. Yeah, give Daddy a minute, and I'll get you some ice cream, sweetie pie. Get him on camera. Adorable. He can't say no.
Right, adorable. You guys would have hated him if he had said no just now. He had pressure to say yes.
Get your own ice cream.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like watching that, because I watched that today, I was like, this is sweet. Like, these are sweet people, and they legitimately care about the role.
Yeah, yeah. And
I think that's super refreshing. Like, it was more than just, I'm gonna be this character and get a paycheck. You could tell they love the character.
It's if you're targeting children, you know, child actors to play these characters, you're probably going to hit upon a demographic that has watched the television show on Nickelodeon or reruns on Netflix or whatever.
Right.
Binged it on Netflix.
I think reruns play on most streaming platforms.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's
freaking
awesome.
They
play them on Nickelodeon still to this day.
They should.
Yeah.
It's one of the best series ever.
And they gave them a bunch of money to make more.
They did.
Yeah.
They did.
They gave DiMartino and the other guy a bunch of money to just make more Avatar.
Well, and that was one of the things that I wanted to kind of touch on next. So, they immediately get the green light because of the wild success of the series for not one more season, but to finish the run.
Yeah, they're going to finish it. The original story was three seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On top of that, they got a bunch of spinoff stuff that they're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's...
Movies, not series. I think it was mostly movies, right?
No. The original creators, Nickelodeon just gave them a studio and said, make more Avatar. So they're thinking, I think they're going to make more television Avatar.
Oh, so on Netflix, though, we're getting movies. So we're getting an adult Aang movie and some other fun stuff. Yes,
okay,
yes.
I hadn't heard about that. Well, that probably is the cartoon guys, then.
I don't know.
I don't imagine it's the Netflix guys.
I don't know why. Didn't the cartoon guys walk out on this one?
Yeah, yeah. They parted ways. They didn't like the twisting of the story's moments to fit them all into a short span of time, I'd imagine, right? Because that's really the only thing that's different about the show.
Right, right.
Because at core, it remains the same, right? Its bones are the same.
Right. We've got a boy here that has this crazy responsibility thrust upon him, and he has to do all of this just so he might be able to save people.
For sure.
Yeah.
And while I will forever hear the voice of Mark Hamill when I think of Fire Lord Ozai, Daniel Day-Kim was a really good Fire Lord Ozai.
Freaking kills.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine? And imagine what he's already brought to the table two seasons down the line when he has that moment with Aang where they fight for the survival of the world.
I'm so stoked.
I mean, come on, that's going to be amazing to watch.
I'm excited to see a lion turtle.
Yeah, lion turtles. I love the weird little animals, right? They definitely did those weird amalgamations of animals. I mean, and it starts right away when you have that flashback scene in the Fire Lord capital or in the Fire Nation capital.
Love it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's great.
So, yeah, I'm very, very excited for what Fire Lord Ozai in particular.
Yeah.
Dude, the guy's fucking shredded.
He's great.
Shredded.
He's great.
You see him without his shirt on, beating up on little old Zuko, and you're like, dude, I wouldn't want to fight that guy. He looks like...
Daniel Day-Kim, man.
He looked like he was chiseled out of stone and there for the ass whippings.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. So cool.
Yeah, and if I remember, he's not a young guy.
No, I think he's in his 40s.
Yeah, I think 50, he's in his 40s. Yeah,
40s or 50s. Yeah,
he might be 50 now. Shit.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy. Google.
He's the he is the guy. No, he's great. But very cool. Yeah. I think everybody did a good job in the show. It's good.
It's fine. Yeah.
Watch it. Yeah. Now we've got some video game stuff to talk about here, and I know you've got 70 hours in it already.
I am 70 hours into Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I just did Cosmo Canyon. That was one of the points in the game I was most looking forward to, was getting back to Cosmo Canyon. You know, look, I'm going to be honest with you people out there. I'm going to spoil some things, but the game came out in 1997 originally, and this is part of that game story too. So if you don't know it by now, I guess
you're the problem.
I guess, yeah, go listen to something else for a little bit and come back later. Yeah, I mean, it was the part I was most looking forward to, finding out, you know, Red 13 is actually Nanaki, and meeting Bugenhagen, his grandfather, who's also, like, the world's foremost planetologist, and he, like, takes you up into his observatory, and he, like, shows you what's happening to the planet, he talks about the live stream. Like, it's where a lot of the large narrative bits that became what the story is after that point started in Cosmo Canyon. So I did when I got to that open world section, because I'm a weird completionist when I play video games. You know, I can't move on until I've done everything that there, every little question mark on the map has to be explored before I can go on to the next thing. When I got to the Cosmo Canyon region, I got the first thing you come across, because it's a you know, canyon, so it's a linear kind of path. It's not as big and open as some of the other places you've been. So one of the first things you come to is the Chocobo Ranch, which sends you on a little side quest to get your Chocobo. And in this area, the Chocobo's special ability is it can, like, glide. It has these little ramp things that it runs up, and then it can glide to different areas and stuff. It doesn't fly, because they don't fly. They're like ostriches, right? But it can glide. And then there's a whole little side quest where you meet a girl who used to race chocobos, but she's, like, having some PTSD because she got into an accident. And you kind of help her snap out of that by doing these little obstacle courses where you fly your little chocobo through these little rings that are worth different points. The problem is, each mini game in Final Fantasy VII Remake and in Rebirth has three tiers of rewards based on your score. Well, when you are doing this mission, this little side mission, the only way to get the third tier of reward is to hit every ring. When you hit every ring, it's the exact score you need to get that third tier. Okay. So there is no, like, I did okay, I can still get there.
It's a pass or fail.
Yeah, like, you get every ring or you start over, right? Like, you. So I spent probably too long. I mean, probably at least an hour just frustratingly going through those things, trying to cap them all out. Because the one reward was a new weapon for a character. So I was like, well, fuck, I got to get that.
Of course I need that.
Like, I got to get that. I got to go to a new area. I got new things to fight.
It's a must-have item.
Right, yeah. Like, so. But then, when you go into the wider area of the canyon, you pretty much can go in any direction, and there's stuff to do. There's towers to find and monsters to fight and all kinds of stuff, right? So I didn't do any of that. Once I was finished with the little Chocobo Ranch intro, I went straight to the city.
No.
Because you'll get to come back to the open world after the story happens in the city. But the city was what I really, again, one of the biggest moments I was waiting for. Up to this point in the game, to see again.
Right? Was
to
it everything see. You'd hoped for?
Oh, it was great. I had tears, man. It was great.
Did you?
It's a beautiful, Cosmo Canyon's a beautiful, awesome place. Kudos to the voice actor for Red 13, who does both the wise Red 13 that we met in the last game and then is mostly the beginning of this game, and the child, his real voice, the child's voice. He does both voices.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, kudos to the voice actor. That's, I'm sure, hard to do. But, yeah, no, it's great, man. It's big. It's open. There's a lot of stuff to do. Most of the stuff you do in each region is the same, so that can get a little repetitive.
Sure.
Unless you're really just a completionist and you have to do it all. But the game doesn't force you to do that. I mean, you always know where the next story bit is coming.
Okay.
So you can literally just skip all of that if you really wanted to. You don't have to engage in any of that content to play the game. You know, it doesn't lock the rest of the game behind a wall, essentially. But what I was talking about earlier when we were talking about Avatar is those moments where they do things because they know we already know the answer.
Right.
Right. So in Remake, when the Sector 7 plate is falling and we see Kate Sith, the little cat robot with the crown and the cape, and he's like, too late to help. And because they know, we know, of course he would be there.
Right.
Right. Reeve is there. Reeve is controlling the little robot. Right. Again, spoilers for a game that came out in 1997.
Get good, nerds.
Yeah. So, yeah, they just, these little things keep popping up throughout the game's story when the mystery of, oh, Barret might have shot some people at the gold saucer in the original game. The game lets you believe, oh, Barret just killed a bunch of people, right, and now he's in trouble, and we gotta, you know, we're all in trouble because he's with us. The game doesn't hide the fact that there's another man there with a gun on his arm. Because the game knows, we know.
Right.
There's no reason to make it a mystery anymore. We know the answer. So the game doesn't pretend that that's new information. There is new information. There is new things to discover about what Final Fantasy VII is, and I won't spoil those things here. But the safe parts of it, the parts of it that are just recreating the story we've already played through, yeah, they do all kinds of things because they know we know.
I mean, that's
and
cool,
that's
though.
Cool.
You have to
you have to
tip your hat to the person that has been following you and playing with you.
I played the original game in 1997.
Right. No, wait a minute. Not right now, baby.
So yeah, I mean, it's great. I'm having a blast with it. I'm into chapter 10 now of 14, from what I understand.
Okay.
But I'm 70 hours in. And just now am I at chapter 10, right? So I think this is easily an 80 to 100-hour game to 100% complete.
How far is Capuano?
He's probably two chapters ahead of me at this point. Okay. Now you have to remember, some of that 70 hours comes from the fact that I am playing story beats twice.
Right, right.
Right, because my wife is invested in the game story. She wants to see how it all works.
For sure.
And how it all plays out. So I essentially play most story sections twice.
Okay.
Right. I will do it one time when I'm just sitting there late at night and she's in bed and no one cares what I'm doing. But before I get to that story moment, I will create a second save that I can then reload the next day. Okay. And here's all the story you missed.
You were so cute, you two. It's
whatever,
disgusting.
Man. Whatever.
Disgustingly
cute. She could be, she could not like the story at all, and she's just humoring me. I don't know.
Again, how sweet is that? Get you somebody like that, folks.
But yeah, so the 70 hours is probably more like 60 hours, right? Because again, this all I'm doing for her is the story beats. I'm not doing any of the weird open world.
You don't need to see me running around
nonsense,
in circles,
right?
For an hour and a half,
fighting a bunch of enemies and stuff. So I'm not doing any of that stuff. So I basically just do all of that stuff. And if I'm about to move beyond that into a story moment, like I said, I just drop a second save so that I can reload it when she's ready to see that next piece.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah.
Like, so you've invested probably a few extra hours, but not too many.
Yeah. I mean, the largest part of this game is the open world and all the side content.
Of course.
If we just took cutscenes that were relevant to the game's story and put them all together on YouTube, I'd imagine it's only a couple hours of what is so far been like a 60-hour game experience. You know what I mean?
That's still a freaking movie.
No, it is. It absolutely is a movie, but it's the smallest part of the overall.
No, I totally get what you're saying. But like we say, it's only 2 hours. A 2 hour viewing experience is, well, what most of us deem normal.
Sure.
If we're going to watch a feature film.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
So.
I highly recommend it.
So you're getting your money's worth.
I am absolutely getting my money's worth.
You're 70 hours in, so you've already got your money's worth.
Yes.
That's dollar per minute right there.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Or no, dollar per hour, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So you did damn good.
Hours. Yeah, it's a dollar an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fantastic. It's beautiful. It's got a couple of issues in the performance mode, which is the mode I tend to play in, which locks the game's frame rate at 60 FPS.
Fucking elite right here.
No, it actually would look better in the other mode if I had a better television.
Yeah, higher refresh rate television. Right. Yeah.
If I had a variable refresh rate television, I would actually play in graphical mode because that drops the frame rate a little bit so it can provide a visual more clarity.
Cinematic experience. Yeah,
visual clarity and a you know, seamlessness to the whole thing. So every now and again, I see little weird graphical glitches, but Sony and Square Enix have been on it. I mean, they had a similar problem like that to that in the demo copy of the game, and they made a patch for it
for the demo. Yeah,
so that you could play the demo. You know what I mean? Without seeing these, so they're on it, right? They won't let that kind of stuff stand. They'll fix it, and I would imagine they'll fix it pretty promptly.
I mean, it's clearly getting all kinds of interest right now.
I
mean,
it's one of the largest Final Fantasy games I've ever played.
It's probably one of the largest selling games ever at this point.
Yeah. I mean, and so. We did find out some news, right? Because there's a moment, you know, you get vehicles in the game. That was part of the original PlayStation 1 game. You drive the buggy, which is in this game. You drive the buggy. You fly in the tiny Bronco, which is Sid's weird little plane. Beyond that, I don't know. I don't know if there's anything else beyond that. But what we did hear, apparently, and Capuano was making me aware of this, our friend Mike, is one of the people working on the game talking about you will be able to drive the airship in the final game, which is something you could do in the original game.
Yeah.
So in the final part of the game, part three, whenever that decides to come out, that's why they built the world to scale. So that you could fly around it. Because the world is now to scale, right? It's a two-scale map instead of an overworld map in the old Final Fantasy style. So, yeah, that's exciting. Because Capuano and I were having a strong debate. I took the side of, no, they have to let you fly the airship. That's part of a PlayStation 1 game. We can recreate that now. And Capuano's argument was, yeah, but that map wasn't to scale. I was like, okay, but this one is. And he was like, yeah, it's just a lot, though, to load and move through and do.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm going to disagree, man. I think they're going to let us fly the airship.
I see both arguments there.
Doesn't matter, because apparently one of the game developers just spilled the beans and said, of course, that's why we built the map to scale, you could fly around it on an airship.
That's such a testament to the power of computing that they're putting in modern-day consoles.
Yes,
ridiculous.
It's just a computer.
It's all it is.
That's what it is now.
But that is nutty, dude. That's nutty.
Yeah. It's gonna be awesome. Can't wait.
Okay, so get you some Final Fantasy in your
life. And again, I'm not even done. I have not even seen the credits roll, and I've been very careful on the internet when it comes to videos or people talking about it because I kind of don't want to know. I'm usually the guy that wants to know, right? I'll watch all the trailers. I'll read all the spoilers. I do that, but it has played it pretty safe up to chapter 10 when it comes to deviating from the plot. It's played it pretty safe. So I wonder if that deviation is going to come right at the end. My theory, and I've said this a couple of times, I've said this to Mike and I've said this to Corey, my wife, but I'll get it on a microphone. So in case I'm right,
you guys need to hear this.
It will be awesome. So I think one of the biggest controversies about the recreation of this game is, again, spoilers for a game from 1997, Aerith's death at the end of disc one or disc two. No, it was disc one.
Whatever disc it was, yeah.
Is Aerith going to die? Is she going to live? People modded the old Final Fantasy VII so that she would live, so you could use her beyond where she should have died in the original game's narrative. But I don't think they're going to decide. I think they're going to have their cake and eat it too. So I think, because there's a lot of people that like, no, Aerith has to die. That's
the
one
story.
Of the crux points in the story. And there's people that say, I want to see Aerith all the way through the game because she's great. And she is. Even when I had to just read little text boxes to get her personality, she was great. She was a character that I loved. Okay, so there's a weird thing going on in this game where, you know, we saw it at the end of Remake. This is not a spoiler. There is a universe where Zack lived. Zack is alive in another universe, as is Aerith.
Right?
So the question then becomes, okay, so when we get to this final moment, is Aerith going to die? I say yes, because I think the other version of her is going to come in and replace her.
Ah.
So I think we're going to have our cake and we're going to eat it too. I think there is going to be the death that most of the player base thinks just like that needs to happen. And for the smaller part of the player base that would like to see her go on within the narrative, we got another one. We got another one in another universe. And if you think Zack and Cloud, these characters that are intertwined by destiny, are never going to intersect in this game's narrative, you're wrong. It's going to happen. And I think it's going to happen in part two here. And I think that's the moment it happens, right?
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. I'm calling it. I don't know. I'm telling you, I've avoided spoilers. I don't want to see anything. And I'm usually the complete opposite. But this game is pretty close to my heart. This was one of the first... This was the first 3D Final Fantasy game. But this was one of the first games I can remember completing.
Okay.
Now, not when I say completing, I'm not saying watch the credits roll. I'm saying I did everything all in of the it. Game.
Yeah.
There was nothing left to do in that game's world by the time I was done. That's and awesome. I had never done that before. I'd always played games to the credits. And if I missed things, whatever, I missed them.
That's how I play games. Yeah. I'm such a lazy gamer.
So, yeah, this one's special to me. It's dear to me as a gamer. And, yeah, I don't want to know what's coming. I'm usually watching the videos and I'm listening to the people talk about it. I don't want to know. I just want to see it and see how that makes me feel.
I am avoiding that part of the interweb.
Yep.
Nice.
It's not easy, but I don't like the internet most of the time, so it's fine, right?
It's a double-edged sword.
But I don't open up Google. It's fine. That's fine. I don't need to do that. Because you just know, you open up Google, you scroll through Facebook, somebody's going to spoil something in a fucking article title or a thumbnail or some nonsense.
Told you so. So-and-so is blank.
Yeah. And I'm not like, doing it. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it. I'm going to let this one ride.
It's your way of sticking it to the trolley box out there.
I just want to experience it like I did when I was a kid where I didn't know what was coming.
I think that's awesome, though.
We didn't have the internet then.
So, I was gonna save this for bonus content, but I won't. Bonus content.
Well, then you've made it bonus content then by saying bonus content.
Right, it's there. Uh-huh. So, Christopher is playing through Tears of the Kingdom.
Sure.
And
great game.
Amazing game. Way late to the party, but he's been reading. He finished his Invincible series, so he wanted to go. Do that now. He's been doing that, and the other day he finally broke down and got on the internet for something, and he's like, Dad, I felt dirty doing it, because he did all of Breath of the Wild without,
like, you should never feel bad about that. Every one of us has come across a puzzle we can't solve or a thing we can't find, and we're just like, fuck it, I'm looking at the internet,
or bought a guidebook in the past, because
that's true.
Back in the day, you would just buy the guidebook.
Yeah, but the strategy guide was written by people who had gotten early review copies of the game.
Yeah.
So the strategy guides that were printed, that were ready for release the day the game went on sale, weren't always 100% complete.
Right.
Because we didn't have a bunch of people from all over the world collaborating for every detail.
That's fair. That's very fair.
I had a strategy guide for Final Fantasy IX, and it missed things that I found out much later in my life. I was like, what? I never knew that was in the game.
That's so funny.
They didn't know, right? So they didn't put it in the book.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he felt dirty about it. He's like, yeah, I feel kind of bad about it. He's like, I've tried it for too long now, and I have to move on.
Nah, yeah. We all have those moments where they just hang us up, and we're just like, I'm not doing this. I got to look it up.
Well, and I'm like, dude, if you're still having fun with it, that's fine.
Well, and one of the greatest things about looking things up for Tears of the Kingdom is you can look up multiple sites and – each one of them will have a different answer.
Sure.
How to solve the problem. Right. Because there's not one answer to solve the problem.
Yeah, they've done a good job at making things relatively open-ended as far as answers go.
You look at what you have available to you, and you decide how to solve the problem.
Love it.
It's great. It's brilliant.
So yeah, he is now doing Tears of the Kingdom. Loving every second of it. And he's just...
Game of the year right there.
Again.
Didn't win, but game of the year right there.
Felt dirty for... You know, looking something up. Like he's being a purist here, and I can't help but appreciate that.
Sure, yeah.
Like, good for you, kid.
It's nice to experience it and try to figure it out on your own way. But again, just like with the Chocobo, you know, thing I was doing last night, eventually you got to say enough is enough. And either you, I'm doing this one more time. And if I don't win this time, I'm giving up, and I'll come back later.
Right.
And that's usually the time you win. That's usually the time you do it perfectly. That was how it was for me last night.
That's awesome.
That was the time I did it perfectly. I was like, I'm out. I can't do this anymore. I got to move on. I want to see the story.
Love it.
So,
get some Final Fantasy in your life. I know you guys have already played Tears of the Kingdom. If you have not, it has a 14-year-old stamp of approval.
It has, I think, the whole gaming community stamp of approval.
I think it does.
Yeah, it's just a fantastic video game.
And watch the Avatar series on Netflix.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It is fantastic.
It's worth a watch.
If you guys have not already, go to entertainmentgeeky.com. You can follow us on all of our social media there. Apologies for the recent inactivity. We have been doing life and getting our butts kicked a little bit, so We've been going slow here, but we're trying to make it work.
Taking it easily breezily.
Yeah. We're trying to make it work so that it can be a part of our life that's enjoyable and something that we can still try to grow. And that's what we struggle with. So bear with us, and thank you if you're one of the folks that's followed us for the whole time, man. This has been cool, and we appreciate the shit out of you.
Awesome. I'd give you money if I had any.
Yeah, you should give us money so we can keep doing this. But yeah, thank you for hanging out. Grab your free copy of Merle's Truck Stop in Maine. Go to entertainthegeeky.com for that and click on gear, and you can find that copy of that game. It's, you know, the world-famous one-page role-playing game.
Jesus! I thought we avoided it. Nope. I was like, wow, he didn't call it world-famous today.
It is still known around the world.
Yep, world-famous.
I fucking love you guys.
You got a couple of Australian guys that got one?
Somebody in France did.
Oh, that's
sure,
right.
Yeah.
Somebody in France.
I think we had an Australian download or two of
all
it.
All right. There you go. World famous.
World famous. Self-proclaimed. Doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
You heard it here on the internet, so it must be true.
Absolutely. You have
As
to believe
always,
it.
As always, stay geeky.